Tom Baker, Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, July the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2012. I'm about to share something with you that probably the first radio broadcast to say this, but it's something that you need to hear about because it could affect you, particularly if you are in a church that believes the Bible. But the mayor of Chicago has now indicated that the values of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are not in sync with how Chicago thinks. You won't find any headline about that because he didn't use those exact words. But what he did say is in regard to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, have you heard about the controversy? It's a controversy over whether or not people who own businesses can have religious beliefs and express them without being boycotted, without being told that they're not welcome in a city. And that's what the mayor of Chicago said. In fact, not just him, but also the alderman, Joe Moreno, who represents Chicago's Logan Square neighborhood, plans to use his aldermanic privilege, a Chicago tradition in which city council members defer to aldermen on local matters, to block the restaurant's permit to open up a restaurant there. Now, this is really kind of interesting because the owner of the restaurant, Dan Cathy, came under scrutiny after he told the Baptist Press that he was guilty as charged when it came to supporting the biblical definition of the family unit. But he not only got problems from Chicago. Boston Mayor Thomas Menino sent Cathy a letter informing him, "There is no place for discrimination on Boston's Freedom Trail and no place for your company alongside it." That's kind of really interesting, isn't it? But the businessman's comments have become a rallying point for conservative politicians who see them differently. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee organized a Chick-fil-A appreciation day for August 1st. In fact, I just talked to somebody in California last night. He and his wife went to Chick-fil-A yesterday in appreciation for their stand and in support. You know, this is really kind of interesting. I'm not really one in predictions, but I predict that much of what happened at another time in history when a certain politician indicated that people were not worthy to be doing business in his country, it ended up in Kristallnacht. What does that mean? Well, it was a night of the breaking of glass windows, etc., of the Jewish population in Germany. Just Google what Hitler thought about the Jews, and you will be surprised how close it is how progressives consider Christians. Now, I'm confident that when the first Chick-fil-A store is destroyed or broken into or whatever's going to happen, that these folks will blame it on the position of the Chick-fil-A folks where they are opposed to gay marriage. You know, it'd be one thing if they were so opposed that they wouldn't allow gay people to come into their restaurant. Not only do they serve gay people, but they also hire them. Now, the media is doing nothing but lying about the situation in order to cover themselves. And in fact, it occurred in our own Post-Dispatch in St. Louis here today. My wife handed me the article as I was going out the door. But before I get to it, I want to ask you, what am I talking about? Isn't this politics? As to whether or not a restaurant should be permitted in a certain area? I can understand certain businesses not being permitted. For example, we just talked about not long ago that this pornographic store, they want to be right beside a nunnery. Now, can you imagine that? And they already have laws on the books that certain establishments cannot be like so many feet away from a school. So I don't have a problem when we're dealing with things that can hurt children. But Chick-fil-A, this is really interesting. Because what the mayor of Chicago is saying is not only that Chick-fil-A is no longer welcome, but neither are the, 100 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod welcome. Because we have a very strong stand against gay marriage. And we're worse than Chick-fil-A from a progressive point of view, and we'll talk about progressive in a minute, because we do not allow a unrepentant homosexual to join our congregations or to take the Lord's Supper because it will be to their detriment. It's very clear in 1 Corinthians 11. And what's he going to do with all the Southern Baptist churches? Chick-fil-A is Southern Baptist, let alone non-Christians who are very strongly against gay marriage, such as Mormons and Muslims. Well, what's really interesting, this same mayor who kind of supports the Black Panthers seems to be unaware of the fact that the Black Panthers have expressed opposition to gay marriage. Now, this is Open Mic Friday, so at any time you can interrupt me at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727, and let's go speak with John. Hi, John.
Good afternoon, Pastor Baker.
Afternoon.
I wanted to give a quick call, recently I've really been going through my small catechism, Luther's small catechism class, have really become more involved in my LCMS congregation.
Okay.
And one of the issues that we had been discussing is because as I had come from an ELCA congregation who has an entirely different outlook on homosexuality.
Yeah, they permit lesbian
marriage.
Pastors, gay Correct. Pastors, et cetera, yes.
Yes. And I, through the study of the small catechism here and with the help with my pastor, discovered that there was more than just one reason for that to be an unscriptural teaching. With that in context, why would people consider it to be wrong for us to proclaim what is in the Scripture as compared to trying to put into Scripture what we want it to mean? I don't see why I would assume that it's politics and it's a bound conscience thing that the ELCA had been going through. I don't see anything wrong at all with proclaiming what the Scripture actually says, and why should we be permeated as anti-person, so to speak? If you proclaim what the Word is actually there, you're actually doing that out of love for your neighbor.
Well, you see, progressives don't take a look at your motivation. They couldn't care less for your motivation, and let me put you in their shoes to understand why they are so vehemently opposed to Christians against gay marriage. Mm-hmm. For example, if I said to you, John, that we want you to join this church, but of course one of our teachings is that anybody with black skin is less than a human being, mm-hmm. would you join that church?
No, sir.
Would you give me the right to say something like that and open up a shop and not allow black people in it?
No.
That's correct. Now, from a progressive point of view, they put black skin on the same level as gay marriage. They are saying that you are sexist rather than racist, and that you have a point of view that actually hurts people who want to be in a gay marriage situation, and therefore they will do everything they can, like we did, to stop that form of racism. They're going to do everything they can to stop that form of sexism from their point of view.
Oh.
It's really easy to understand why they have the feeling they do.
Okay. It was just part of the reason why, you know, and it was a really difficult choice, and then I had decided that as I had studied, you know, with this small catechism and going through the Missouri Synod, you know, I had discovered that, you know, I don't know why it was so difficult for me to run to them, so to speak. You know, I guess it's pretty clear, pretty concise, and to me, you know, that was part of the reason why I did leave the LCA, because especially with their recent fellowships with some of those churches. So
yes.
I don't know. I was just trying to understand why.
It's really easy to understand, because they put it at the same level as racism.
It's really not a civil rights issue.
Oh, heavens no. No, it's from God's point of view. Pretty soon you're going to have the man-boy groups come forward and try and legalize what they're doing. And you got to remember that there were places such as in Greece at the time of Jesus where that kind of a relationship was not only legal, but it was governed by real strict rules as to what would happen to these young boys when they became soldiers in these various cities. I just spoke with somebody last night about that at length who had a good history lesson. So if you look back at history, you got to remember, you know, we're all sad, very much so, and rightly so, because of the abortions. But in Jesus' day, many a Roman threw a child out into the wilderness if it didn't pass muster from their point of view, and they didn't give a second thought about it.
Has real briefly, and then I'll get off here because I don't want to take too much of your time, but has historical critical criticism method of study actually led to all this mess?
I would say the historical critical method of study. I'll tell you one area. Now, I want to be real clear here. Not everyone who uses the historical critical method of study, where reason is over the scripture, would go for everything that some of the extremists say. So we're only talking about extremists. For example, I did have a professor who was an extremist who used a historical critical method to say that the body of Jesus could still be in the grave because he rose spiritually, not physically. And he really believed that. So that was a ridiculous nonsense, but that came about by the historical critical method. You see, the historical critical method looks at the Bible as though it was written only by men, not inspired by the Holy Spirit. And here's the distinction they make where homosexuality, and I read this, in fact, Wednesday from a United Church of Christ minister who said that Jesus never spoke against homosexuality. Now, what he means is the red letters in the Bible.
Right.
Although there are some parts that make it very clear that Jesus would have included that. But the fact is, Paul, Moses, many others write about it. And from our point of view, that's Jesus speaking. Because Jesus is the Word of God. And all the Bible is the Word put it in print. So everything in the Bible that teaches us God's understanding of reality are the words of Jesus himself, because he's God. But you see, they divide. Paul's words are not as important as Jesus' words. And so since Paul is the big guy against homosexuality, they say that was just for that day. It's not for our day. And that's how the historical critical method demeans the purpose of the Bible and therefore allows for immorality today that would never have been authorized by Jesus, ever.
So basically what they're looking at is in putting it in a context, I mean, the Bible itself is the Word of God. It is from front cover to back cover.
Yeah, everything
it is the Word of God.
Is inerrant. The numbers, the geography. You know, a lot of people say, well, Genesis isn't a scientific book, and I say I agree with that. Genesis doesn't tell how specifically God created everything in six 24-hour days, but it is a historical book. So if you can fit a scientific theory into six 24-hour days, I'll accept it.
It sounds great. Pastor, I appreciate the show, and it's always a pleasure, and I have to say I'm very pleased with the Missouri Synod, and it has made things a lot more clear for me. I thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and anybody else can call at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I need to say that KFUO is not only listener-supported, but it is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're the second largest denomination Lutheran in the country, and the larger one actually came about because three liberal groups came together and joined, and they're the ones who are pro-abortion, pro-homosexual unions, and this sort of thing. In fact, in a convention not long ago, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod came out strongly indicating that we don't even consider that to be a Lutheran church anymore because it has gone so far from proper Lutheran morality. Now, the fact of the matter is, not everybody in the ELCA is of that nature. I've got some good friends there who have great pastors who don't believe this stuff, and there's a big movement within that denomination, but you can Google all that information and find out about it. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod throughout the world is known as a Bible-believing and in sync with morality. And so we're very close in those areas with the Southern Baptist Church, conservative Presbyterians, conservative Episcopalians, anyone who does recognize the Bible as the Word of God. We would be in sync on these moral issues. But we're also in sync with the Orthodox Jews, who are very moral when it comes to pro-life and, of course, gay marriage. They're pro-life and they're opposed to gay marriage, and also with the Mormons. You see, when it comes to politics and, say, a president of the United States, I don't know any time that a president has imposed his specific denominational teachings on the country. Kennedy didn't say we all had to pray to the Virgin Mary. There's no law. If there was a Lutheran president, and there never has been, it would be wrong for him to declare a law that all children should be baptized. Those are church kinds of things. And so a Southern Baptist, even a Mormon, a Lutheran, and a Roman Catholic who are conservative Bible believers in the sense of morality, they would all be the same kind of president. That they would definitely have a moral point of view on the big issues that could cause some real division in this country. I've said for a long time that if we went to war over slavery, it won't surprise me if on these moral issues. And here's how it will happen. You're going to get not just the mayor of Boston and the mayor of Chicago denouncing people like Chick-fil-A just for their views, but you're going to see violence start against those individuals. I mean, you're just asking for trouble when the mayor of Chicago, let me give you their his actual quote. This is Mayor Rahm Emanuel. You know, he was a right-hand man to the president. Chick-fil-A values are not Chicago values. They disrespect our fellow neighbors and residents. You know, that means the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod now is teaching items and values that are not Chicago values. Who is this mayor that can tell us what are the values of Chicago? I'll tell you what should be the values of Chicago is that a person should have the right to believe and profess whatever he wants. I mean, I don't say that Muslims can't pray to Allah. No, we're in the United States of America. You have the freedom to worship as you want. What you don't have the freedom to do is impose your specific items, say, in your business. For example, if Chick-fil-A refused to give food to homosexuals, that would be wrong. Any more than we refuse to give food to murderers or rapists. No, that's against the law to do that. And even when they go to prison, they still get fed. So one's got to be really careful as to how you slam Christians who have biblical views. If they're not imposing those views in an illegal way. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting. There are some restaurants who are known for really good-looking waitresses. And there was a suit filed against them. And guess what? The suit lost. Because a private business can hire anybody they want. They can set the standards for whom they want. So it'd be very interesting if the standards were set. For example, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we will never hire a homosexual to be a youth counselor. No, it's just, and the Supreme Court unanimously okayed that just recently. So I tell you, the mayor of Chicago, the mayor of Boston, they better be careful. Because when they say that there's a group that doesn't have our values and they are disrespecting our fellow neighbors and residents, then they are opening the door to what happened in Germany against the Jews. It would seem to me that Jews would be really on the side of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Chick-fil-A. And I'm just surprised. It's just a crazy world right now where there are actually Jewish doctors committing abortion on Jewish girls. Killing Jewish little girls. Why? Well, it's always money. Oh, they may say it's not, but it finally comes down to money. I mean, it's a lucrative business, abortion is. Ask Planned Parenthood. Look how much money they get. But you see, there never can be a good motivation for the murder of someone. And that's why capital punishment isn't murder. Because there is a good motivation there, and that's to protect the public and also discipline those who have done heinous crimes. So we make distinctions, and we do them on the basis of God's word. If God did not condemn homosexual behavior or rape or murder, it would be okay to do those things. But he does. And therefore, we have a right not only to stand up in our businesses and confess our beliefs, regardless of what they are. We've got a grocery store near us, and it's run by Muslims. And I know they pray to Allah. I go and buy bread from them. Why not? I mean, I'm not going to boycott them. Now, if they come out and indicate Sharia law needs to be in the city I live in, then I would boycott them. Because now they're trying to impose their specific religious values on me, and they have no right to do that. If Chick-fil-A was ever found to be refusing service to homosexuals, then maybe you've got a case. But they don't. You know why? Because they're Christians. We'll have more on this when we get back from the break. I'm Tom Baker. And we're going to go through, I'm going to show you how mean and why I no longer call progressives progressives. I never did like that word anyway. And I've got a new word for them I'm going to start using. And I'll be glad to hear from you if you've got any opinion at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727.
Worldwide KFUO, broadcasting 24 hours a day in stereo at KFUO.org. KFUO Radio, on the air since 1924. We're your most trusted radio station for sacred music.
Let
Listen to Worldwide KFUO from 5 p.m. through 7 a.m. Central Time for Sacred Music of the Church. Bringing you the gospel of Christ in word and song. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org in St. Louis on AM 850 KFUO. The message is clear.
Crown him with many crowns.
There is time for everything, a time for all that life may bring. Join me, Randy Asbury, for a new way to start your day. We call it His Time. Every day, every minute is a gift from God. It's all His time. We'll learn to keep time God's way with the church year.
Ah, Pentecost, the green is on the altar, on the pulpit, and on your pastor to remind you that your growth comes from the Word of God and the warm sunshine of Jesus poured out upon you in the sacraments during this summer season.
We'll feast on God's Word on our daily journey.
There's a foretaste of that final banquet in our Holy Eucharist, in our Lord's Supper.
And we'll discuss what's important to your daily life.
Free exercise of religion does not mean simply the freedom to assemble. It means we have the freedom to practice our religion in the public sphere.
Sanctifying your day with the Word of God in prayer on His time.
Weekdays from 7 to 9 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO. Online at KFUO.org.
Tom Baker back here on Open Mic Friday, your opportunity to phone in with any question. I'd like to keep on the subject, though, unlike most Open Mic Fridays, where we're talking about Chick-fil-A and the attacks on them by mayors in Boston and Chicago, which are also, therefore, attacks on any organization that is opposed to gay marriage. So our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has congregations, and now we're told by the Chicago mayor that we are no longer supporting the values of Chicago. Why does he say something like that? Because he believes that Chicago is a progressive city. We used to use the word liberal. They like to use the word progressive, but I got a few things I want to say about that, first of all. Progressive, boy, does it have a lot of meanings. There are actually progressive parties that have taken place in history, like in Australia, in Canada, in England, and New Zealand, and Ukraine. But if you're talking about it in general terms, the term progressivism is used to describe a wide range of views associated with left-wing political movements. So when I hear the word progressive, I know what they're trying to say. They want social and political change in contrast to the way that conservative politicians want it. In fact, to a great understanding of progression is that they believe that progressives have new ideas. They want to move forward. They want to be making progress. Well, I'm a conservative, and I think I meet all of those criteria. I don't think that is a good definition for being a progressive, because I believe that our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has really moved forward in a number of areas. The malaria initiative, you've heard it on the radio here, and other such things, as well as with theology. We've been in the leadership role in helping out the Southern Baptist Church, etc., with working out theology and what's important, what's not, and so forth. So we're considered in the theological world someone to look up to and at least get some advice from, whether they're going to agree with it or not. But when I think of people who call themselves progressives today because they don't want to call themselves liberal, these people often have views that are contrary to the Word of God. The progressives I'm talking about are those who, number one, don't believe that the entire Bible is God's word, a truth in everything it says. And number two, they have a strong affinity for evolution. So they can make distinctions between people who haven't yet been at their level of growth, maturity, and so forth. So that's how they can look down on Chick-fil-A and say, you know, you are not one who holds the values of Chicago, for example. A conservative would never say that because there is no law as to what are the values of Chicago outside of the laws that thou shalt not murder, etc., etc. Some parts of Chicago where they have 10 to 15 murders and killings a weekend, their values is maybe that's why we don't want to have the values of Chicago. But the mayor wouldn't want to say that those are the values of Chicago either, to be fair to him. But how can you say that Chick-fil-A, who opposes gay marriage, something the president of the United States did 8 weeks ago, how can you say they don't have the values of Chicago? This is really hate language, and it's going to lead to problems in that city. Now, the word progressive, every time I think of progressive as a pastor, here's what I think about. You go to the hospital and you're talking to the doctor and you're saying, yes, I know my member's in here for cancer. How is she doing? And he looks at me and says, I'm sorry, the disease is progressing. It's becoming progressive. You know what that means? It's becoming worse. That's how I look at left-wing political movements that are progressive, because they end up using violence. They use violence when they don't get their way. Whether you're a union in Wisconsin, whether you're students at the University of Pennsylvania. I mean, just go through. Look what's happening in Anaheim right now. Now, why is that happening? That's not happening among conservatives. That happens among progressives. But because the word progressive can have some positive connotations, and because everybody who calls themselves a progressive is not a Bible unbeliever, evolutionary kind of person, I've been looking for another word. And what I'm going to refer to this specific group as, not all progressives, but this specific immoral group, we need to call them retrogressives. What is a retrogressive? It's something that goes from better to worse, and it's degenerate. For politicians to now say that gay marriage is okay in the sight of God, no, gay marriage is a degenerate form of life from God's point of view. Now, in case you think, well, that's terrible to say about people. No, I live a degenerate form of life. At least I confess I do every Sunday, saying to God that I'm a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. I put myself in the same category as retrogressives. It's just that my sins aren't theirs. Mine are more conservative sins, like pride or going over the speed limit or all the sins of, for example, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, I'm a murderer, you know, because at times I've said bad things about people behind their back. See, God doesn't make a distinction, therefore, between retrogressives and conservatives. But the difference is retrogressives, the kinds I'm talking about, are those who don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, and they also are very evolutionary. So they can actually say things like, you know, you're not supporting the values of this area, as though somebody has the ability to say these are the values and anybody outside of it, unless it's in black and white on law, those are not the values of a city. And unless I miss something, Chicago has no law that says the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cannot preach that gay marriage is an abomination, is degenerate behavior before Almighty God. We not only have the right to say that, but we must say that because that's what God says. And to go against what God says, that's wrong. Now, we are very open to talking with those who say, you've misread the Bible. But I gave you two examples yesterday. And in both the Episcopalian Church and, what was it, United Church of Christ, notice what they did. They said, we just don't listen to the Bible when it comes to reason and experience. We use reason and experience instead of the Bible. At least that was really honest. You don't often hear that from retrogressives. They try and hide their thing as that we're more loving and more tolerant. They're not any more tolerant than you and I are in regard to those people that have, in their minds, are really quite immoral. A mass murderer or the individual in Colorado, they would not be tolerant of his lifestyle. So it's not a question that they're tolerant and we're not. No, we're all tolerant. It's where you draw the line in that tolerance. And the fact of the matter, years ago, the Christian church was not tolerant of homosexual behavior. Now, because the devil has done his work, even among Christian leaders, the public is really confused, and they're almost embarrassed to say, you know, that homosexual activity shouldn't take place, as though they're going to be accused of hate speech. We don't hate homosexuals. If we did, we wouldn't say anything about their sin. We don't say about their sin in order to make us look better, because we already confess that apart from the blood of Christ, we deserve eternal hell. Yes, there is repentance on the part of a true believer, which doesn't occur on the part of a retrogressive. And retrogressives, therefore, which means they're going from better to worse, and they're embroiled in degenerate behavior from God's point of view, we need to take a stronger stand than we're doing. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples what we can do. Besides going to Chick-fil-A and ordering their chicken there, first chance I get, I'm going to be doing that, because I want to show support to a company that is said, we don't have your values anymore. Let's go to the phone lines and talk with Larry. Hi, Larry.
Pastor Baker, I know you have a Bible sitting somewhere within arm's length.
I'm holding it in my hand right now.
Okay. Ephesians 6:12.
Yes, would you like me to...
How is that relevant in the discussion?
All right, let me first of all read it. Ephesians 6:12 reads as follows. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, the point that Paul is making, he's talking, this is the section where we put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We are tempted by the devil in the same way that Eve and Adam were in the Garden of Eden. Except he doesn't do it where he becomes visible as a snake. But I'll tell you how he does it. We were talking about a pastor who will not come out in a pro-life position because he thinks some of the members are pro-abortion and it's going to cause division in the church. That's a temptation the devil has put in him, and he has therefore forfeited his vocation to be a pastor and speak the word of God, and that's because he is refusing to fight against the principalities and against the powers, which in this case refers to the demons.
Is it not only the pastor's duty, but also the lay people's duty to do the same thing?
That's absolutely correct, and frankly, I'm very proud of a lot of lay people that I talk to on the phone who belong to congregations where the pastors want to be silent on these things, and they're taking up, like I said, I just talked to lay people who specifically went to Chick-fil-A yesterday in order to show their support, but they couldn't get their pastor to go.
Where is the closest Chick-fil-A in North County?
My wife just told me.
There used to be one up there at Jamestown, but they closed it up.
Right. No, there's one, but it's not in North County. I think both of them are in not Central West End, but further out. If anybody knows the addresses, give me a ring and we'll share that. But both are, one's in South St. Louis and the other one, she told me and it just slips my mind. But, yes.
So the admonition that Ezekiel is given in chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel about the watchman on the wall, instead of teetering as the watchman needs to remain steadfast to guard his flock from these evil principalities and let them know exactly what they are.
I'd even go further than you're saying, Larry, because in Jeremiah, God gives a bigger punishment to the laity for following the example of their prophets. Isn't that interesting?
Instead of following Yahweh.
Yeah, instead of following God, they follow false prophets, and the lay people get a bigger punishment from God than did the prophets. That's really important. In fact, in our church, we always say, the sheep judge the shepherd. Do not trust your pastor when he's speaking the word of God. Always check it out. And if he's a good pastor, he'll be able to do it. Like if I say something that's controversial, I'll give the Bible verses behind it right away in order to show that I'm not coming off the top of my head. And people therefore can judge as to whether or not what my interpretation is correct or not.
Right, because even in the in Christ's Passion, a 70-man panel, a blue ribbon panel of scholars sentenced Jesus Christ to death. So
absolutely
don't trust
right.
any man.
Hey, thanks so much for calling, Larry.
All
We're
right.
going to move down to the next individual, and that is Selna. Hi, Selna.
Hi, how are you today?
Very good. How can I help you?
Well, I get so tired of people calling Christians intolerant.
Yep.
I wish we could take the meaning of tolerance back to where it really belongs to, and people would understand that we are tolerant. We tolerate means to put up with and to not try to eliminate the people who believe that way. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with.
Well said. So I tolerate not the beliefs of homosexuals, but I tolerate homosexuals living among us. And if they wanted to eat at my restaurant, I had no problem with that at all.
Right.
Yes.
And they should be tolerant of us. And I think, you know, we as Christians need to take back the meaning of tolerance and stand up and say, you know, I tolerate a lot. Doesn't mean I have to agree with it.
Well said. That's a great distinction to keep in mind, and I sure thank you for calling.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Boy, I tell you, I often want to say we got the smartest layman, except that Issues Etc. thinks they have. And they really do, too. So, I really appreciate these comments, because what we're talking about is, what do we Christians do? Well, for example, I just got today from my wife, on page A19 of the Post-Dispatch, the Friday edition, they have an article by Dana Milbank, who is written out of the Washington Post. I cannot believe what he has to say. You know who he blames for this whole problem with Chick-fil-A? Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee, because he started an Appreciation Day for Chick-fil-A. And here's how he writes. This is, I don't understand how people like this become reporters. The trouble began last week when the Biblical Recorder published an interview with Chick-fil-A's president, Dan Cathy, and defended his closed-on-Sunday policy, and also that he was guilty as charged when asked about opposition to gay marriage. Now, why would any trouble start? I mean, the guy is just making the point of his beliefs. No, the trouble started when the retrogressives, who have very, very thin skin, said that was horrible that somebody who owned Chick-fil-A would have such a position. Now, I'll tell you, here's where you really get it. When the man said that he was opposed to gay marriage, listen to the next paragraph. this implied that gay people had no business eating at Chick-fil-A. See, that's how a retrogressive gets you to hate people. He just utterly lies about this. For example, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our official policy is that no unrepentant gay person can ever take the Lord's Supper at our altars. But does that mean we won't let them come to our church? Of course not. We want them to come to church. So, let's go to our next caller, and I believe this is Gary. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, hey, Tom. This is Gary.
Yes.
I'm calling. You wanted to know where the Chick-fil-A restaurants were.
Oh, please. So.
Okay, it looks like there's one in Arnold, and there's one in St. Louis University. That's at Grand Boulevard. De Pere on Manchester.
Okay, that's the one she talked about.
And there's
yeah.
West County Center, which is one of the malls. There's one there at West County Center that's also in De Pere, Missouri. St. Clair Square in Illinois.
Wow.
And they're building a full restaurant over in St. Clair, over in Fairview Heights, Illinois, also, over by the mall.
Maybe the mayor hasn't heard about that one yet.
Probably not.
Thank you, Gary, very okay. much.
No problem. Thanks.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Gary, that's Gary Duncan. He's my boss. And he's always listening, obviously, to KFUO and checking things out. And every time we ask a question like this, he just goes searching and gets the information. So I really appreciate that. And that was an answer to Larry. So in Arnold, Grand Boulevard, De Pere, West County Center, St. Clair. Now, I also want to say I'm a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And this is not part of our Missouri Synod policy to tell you to go and buy from Chick-fil-A. That's just my personal opinion, okay? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod doesn't have a policy on boycotting or anything or going to places to support. That's really your decision as an individual. Because if I told you you need to go to Chick-fil-A, I better find the words Chick-fil-A in the Bible. So I want to really make that clear, that this is my personal opinion. It's something I would like to do to support them, but it's not at all God's clear word to me that I got in some vision or something like that. If you want to do it, fine. If you don't, that's fine also. And I also want to be speaking to our homosexual brothers and sisters in Christ. What'd you say? Our homosexual brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I thought you said homosexuals go to hell. No, I didn't. I said unrepentant homosexuals have a good chance. But even there, you can't be sure, because God measures the heart. And I don't measure the heart. I have had repentant homosexuals as members of my congregation. You know, they are 5 to 10% of the population. And what we help them to do is to get through that addiction. I don't have any ability to get them through that except Jesus Christ and the cross. But if you want to really show love, the worst thing you can say to a homosexual is God okays your lifestyle. That's the worst thing you can say, just like if you would say it to a child abuser or a molester. Because God doesn't okay their lifestyle, but God still loves them. And it's because we love them, and it's because I love my congregation, I rarely spoke against homosexuality in the congregation, because my congregation, there weren't many homosexuals. We had about 5 women who had done abortions, spoke on that occasionally. But most of our congregation were sinners in their business attitudes and their attitudes towards other people. That's what I kind of stayed with more so. So I don't consider it a sermon. Well, like I read on Wednesday from that United Church of Christ that was just trying to prove that homosexuality isn't a sin. That's not a sermon, because I wasn't doing any law and gospel to anybody in the pew. Well, just before the end, I do want to get back to the Post-Dispatch article. You see, retrogressives make implications that this owner of Chick-fil-A implied that gay people had no business eating at Chick-fil-A. Now, since then, it's come out, not only do they not prohibit, I mean, it's okay for gay people to eat at Chick-fil-A. They don't stop them. But they even hire gay people. That was interesting to me. And so it's not Huckabee that's caused all this problem. He's doing in response to the mayor of Boston, the mayor of Chicago, and this character in Chicago that's refusing to allow a Chick-fil-A to open a business in his area. These are the people who are going, in my view, to be blamed if anything happens to the establishments of Chick-fil-A. Just take a look at history. When officers of the government make statements, it has a huge effect on the motivation of people. And I'll tell you, in some countries, if you were told they're not having our values, why do you think that Christians and many others are being put to death? This is not something to fool around with. And I'm going to be encouraging our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to come out with a statement indicating, especially in the Chicago area, that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a proud member of the Chicago area, and we do have the values of Chicago. And just because we oppose gay marriage, homosexual activity, and abortion, that doesn't make us less of citizens there. And I'm encouraging every congregation to indicate that on their signs. If I still had my congregation with a sign, it'd be changed this weekend. We do support the values of this city. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.